Chapter 26. What is so bad about going to church? Opening questions. How much did Joshua teach about the concept of church? Doesn't the person who started or invented something have the best understanding of how it is defined? If religious leaders define, quote, the church, unquote, differently than Joshua of Nazareth, who knows better about what it really is? Other than religious vocabulary, how different is, quote, the church, unquote, versus other organizations like the Elks or Moose Lodge or the Masonic Lodge or the Knights of Columbus or other religious organizations like mosques or synagogues or other such organizations? If I participate in and support something that is a substitute or counterfeit for something that is really important, am I doing well? Christians are all about going to church. That is the main ritual that they believe pleases God or is required to be in good stead with God. And of course, they have their scripture, not Joshua's teachings, and tradition to back up that belief. When one pictures in their mind a bunch of Christians in a building singing songs about God, hopefully one doesn't see people doing evil things, for they generally are not. They are only doing what they know and have been taught, and they are not hurting anyone in the process except themselves. Meaning in a building to hear nice speeches with some moral truth and to sing songs about God and other things is not wrong in and of itself. Rather, the problem, error, and fault occurs when gathering in a building and singing songs is done in the name of Jesus and substituted for what the real historical Jesus or Joshua of Nazareth actually wants. Stated from a different perspective, Christian religion would be fine if it did not use the historical person of Jesus or Joshua of Nazareth to justify their religion. When Christians point to the historical person of Joshua of Nazareth to justify their religion, as they use him as the figurehead of their religion, they then become accountable to him and his teachings. Christians would be far better off if they left the light of the world out of their church religion. To further illustrate the reason of why it is destructive for those who, quote, go to church, here is a little story to consider. Once there was a governor of Texas. The man was a humble man who genuinely cared about people. He was aware of a significant problem that was occurring in his state. Disabled people were being increasingly neglected, abused, and mistreated. There were many thousands of disabled people who were increasingly being viewed as worthless and as merely resource drains on society. That is consistent with the evolutionary worldview, which produces survival of the fittest principle. The governor had a disabled child himself, so he was very sensitive to the disabled people's plight. So he decided to create small communities or centers for disabled people around the state. He initially built three, one near Dallas, one near Houston, and one near Austin. The intent was to find the disabled people who were being neglected, abused, and mistreated, and invite them to come to live in these communities where they could help one another, get what they needed, and have the governor's state workers help care for them when they could not care for themselves. The governor asked the state health and medical workers to make this disabled program their top priority. The state health and medical workers were initially enthusiastic about this program the governor was implementing. However, they soon learned that it was more work than they were used to. They had to first identify the disabled people, find them, approach them or their legal guardians, and ask for permission that they leave their current situation and move to one of these communities. Many times they would encounter resistance from the disabled people's legal guardians, even when that legal guardian was not involved with the person and had abused them. It did not take long for the state health and medical workers to talk among themselves and come to the conclusion, "We did not sign up for this." They much preferred their prior work that was much easier and restricted from 9 to 5. So the state and medical workers decided that instead of helping these disabled people, they would build a monument to the governor and sing songs about the governor about once a week at the monument. They figured that would please and placate the governor and prevent him from being very angry with their refusing to implement his program for the disabled people. And so it is with Christian religion. The governor represents God. The disabled people represent people without hope, not experiencing love, and not having a good purpose to their life. The state health and medical workers represent Christians who are misguided. The illustration is an imperfect analogy, but it does convey the truth that needs to be conveyed. Christians, like other religious people, make up their religion to serve primarily themselves and what they want. They don't want the difficult work of living out true love and living selflessly and thus sharing their lives with other people. They much prefer building their monuments to their God and singing songs about Him and living a life of love for this world instead of love for Him and each other. Here is another brief illustration to drive the point home. Let's say a dad says to his son, "Son, I really need you to go get water from the stream because our well is dry and your sister has had a bad fever all night and needs to hydrate." But instead of going to the stream and getting the water which is needed, the boy instead decides to sit down and draw a nice picture of angels to give to his sister. So it is with Christian religion. That which is important and badly needed in this little story, water, in reality love, compassion, rightness, justice, is ignored while that which is trivial is not needed is practiced. In this story, the drawing of angels, in reality, going to church, etc. In short, our Heavenly Father does not want us, quote, going to church. Rather, He wants us to be the called out ones, which is what the original language word behind the English transliterated word church means. Showing the world what love really is and looks like, lived out among His people, His called out ones. For more information on the subject, see Appendix 9, Church Conversations. Chapter Section. But I'd rather go to church. A substitute is something that is substituted for an original item. Merriam-Webster defines the term substitute as a person or thing that takes the place of someone or something else. An example would be a substitute teacher at a high school. If the proper or original or authorized teacher cannot teach a given class, a substitute teacher will take their place. Unfortunately, there is also a widespread practice of substituting inferior items for the original. Think about the widely used marketing sayings of accept no substitutes. For example, before you can tell if a currency note is a counterfeit, you must first know the legitimate or real or standard note very well. The purpose of this book is to free the messenger's message from a system and that system's agents who have destroyed that message. To successfully accomplish that, truth must be contrasted with falsehood and right contrasted with wrong. Before a person can successfully identify a counterfeit, he must have a standard to compare it to. One of the things the messenger teaches is that we human beings have a very deep bias against light, life, and love. We prefer darkness, destruction, and coldness of heart. Or stated another way, we are only truly to love only a small number of people who are related to us by blood or by law. As previously stated, the standard for this book is the words, teachings, and truths of Joshua of Nazareth as recorded in the four gospel books. Here's the definition of a substitute: a person or thing that takes the place of something or someone else. Here's the definition of counterfeit: made in imitation of something else with intent to deceive. Now, most religious leaders are deceived by the substitute. Some religious leaders proffer a counterfeit. The Creator sent a messenger to tell us what He wants for His created beings, we human beings. As we have learned, we humans have a significant problem with pride, fear, and selfishness. We also have a deep dislike against being held accountable for our behavior or words. We deeply want to do whatever we want, and generally what we want does not involve losing things we have been taught are important or valuable. This makes us strongly independent beings who don't like being told what is true or right. We like to decide such things for ourselves, and in our self-pride we take great offense at even the suggestion that we need help in either knowing what is true or doing what is right. We are all just so sure that we have the best world or existential view possible, or at least we are certain we are not wrong about major or important things about human life. So, when the messenger comes and says, "Hey, you are wrong about really important things like there is a creator, what your creator is like, and how he wants you to live," what faithless people hear is, "Your religion is wrong," or "The understanding you have about your existence is wrong." Given our self-pride and fear, what is the natural reaction? It is to reject the messenger as wrong or reject the messenger's messengers as wrong. Remember the saying, don't kill the messenger for the news or information he brings. If you know the facts about Joshua of Nazareth, you know that is exactly what happened to him. He was killed out of the offense he caused by telling the truth about people's wrong concepts and understandings of God and how God wants human beings to be and to live. Do you, dear reader, really believe that human nature has changed over time? Do you really believe that people are better and freer from self-pride, fear, and selfishness than people of past times? If the messenger and his message still offend people, what would be a clever way to handle that? In other words, how could we both ignore the messenger and at the same time use him to gain power or money? How about merely using the messenger's name while at the same time changing his person and his message? That way, people can still have their cake, that is, pay lip service to the creator the messenger spoke of just in case he really does exist, and eat it too. That is, not listen to the messenger, not do what he says, but rather create a religion in his name and continue to live bound by self-pride and fear and selfishness, and thus for the empty things of this world. The messenger is not like other leaders who you can see and touch, so it is much easier to merely pay him lip service, O Lord Jesus, and in reality ignore him and never have a serious intention of listening to him or doing what he says. And so, Bible or Christian religion substitutes beliefs about God, taken from a giant book, the Bible, with its many contradictory statements about God, beliefs that avoid what is actually important to God and instead deal with stuff that has little or no bearing on how human beings are to live our lives. For faith in God and his appointed messenger, Joshua. So, let me repeat that. Bible or Christian religion substitutes beliefs about God taken from a giant book, the Bible, with its many contradictory statements about God, beliefs that avoid what is actually important to God and instead deal with stuff that has little or no bearing on how human beings are to live our lives, those are substituted for faith in God and his appointed messenger, Joshua of Nazareth. Or, another version of the substitute is to misdirect what people put their faith in, like the Bible or religious leader or some religious ritual or anything else except the person of Joshua of Nazareth. Instead of getting to know, listening to, and doing what the messenger says, people instead go to church and sing songs they call worship and read and admire the Bible, at least the parts that don't contain the messenger's teachings that they don't want to hear or consider, like it being difficult to follow him, and place crosses on their walls and around their necks, etc. In other words, they do their Bible or Christian religious stuff in Jesus' name, all the while not doing what the real historical Joshua of Nazareth says we ought to do. It is such a clever and effective substitute that it is hard to imagine that it is also not a counterfeit. A counterfeit not created by the men who profit and benefit from it, but rather from a being with the power to deceive both the people and their appointed leaders. Dear reader, please understand that the light is not found in what people call, quote, the church, that the light is not found in Bible or Christian religion. Furthermore, except the fact that the light is against religion, he is especially against religion in his name. What he is for is love, as he defines that. Caring about each other, caring about what is true and right, standing up against that which is false or wrong, sharing our lives like people who actually, truly care about one another, and not like prideful, fearful, selfish, autonomous people who don't see the need to share his life together. The simple truth is that which calls itself some form of the church is nothing more than a religious organization run by and attended by people who reject Joshua of Nazareth and in his place substitute another Jesus or Christ and their easy ritual religion. The light of the world says, quote, many will come in my name and will mislead many, unquote. Dear listener, this has come to pass, and it is the Christian leaders who have come in his name. The leadership of Bible Christian religion has taken the place of Joshua of Nazareth. And instead of living the life he offers, they instead offer the death and darkness that comes with empty, shallow, loveless religion in his name. Of course, they market their death, darkness, and poison with very nice packaging and spins, and the people eagerly participate in the substitute because they love their lives in this world. It is a mutually serving system. The leaders or rulers get their vocation with their money and their power or influence over people, and the people get the blessings of the religious leaders who say they are good with God and heading to heaven. The current Bible Christian religious system is based on a model that is both foreign and alien to Joshua, as well as against him. That model of, quote, ministry or, quote, church has one or a few people at the top, that is, the minister, pastor, reverend, priest, or other paid staff, and the majority of the people doing virtually nothing except listening to speeches, singing songs, and giving the leadership money. That model is anathema to Jesus' new command and the families he came to build. Truly, that which calls itself the church is no different than any other of the world's religious sects or social clubs or societies, like the Rotary Club or the Elks Lodge or the Masons or the Moose Lodge or the Knights of Columbus, etc., except for the God vocabulary used. The simple truth is that whatever we love supremely, we will talk about. If we have in fact been saved from ourselves and out of the darkness of a life with little or no love or faith or truth, then we will be compelled out of love to talk about our Father and our Savior and Master. All disciples tell other people about the light, and all disciples seek to build and be part of the family and thus of the kingdom of God, the kingdom of love, truth, and rightness. If we are not actively working to bring his kingdom to pass, then we are not submitting to God's leader, his Son, and we are not serving him, all our justifications and excuses notwithstanding. The light and truth has said, quote, "This is the condemnation, that people love the darkness rather than the light, because their deeds are evil," unquote. It is evil to reject God's leader Joshua and instead substitute other men and women in his place, which men and women do not listen to or follow Joshua, but rather encourage people, encourage you if you are participating in Bible church religion, to stay in the darkness that is ignorance, falsehoods, and lovelessness. I know this is hard to understand for many readers, since you have been taught and believe that there is no significant difference between, quote, Jesus Christ and Christian or Bible religion you experience in that name. In truth, Jesus Christ is merely the figurehead of your religion, the bait to draw you in. However, if you can see the difference between the historical person of Joshua or Jesus of Nazareth and his words and teachings and deeds as found only in the four gospel books at the beginning of the New Testament, and religion in his name, you have taken one simple but very important step in the right direction. So many who ask good questions about God's death can never get past throwing the baby, that which is really valuable, Joshua of Nazareth, out with the bathwater, that which is worthless, Christian and Bible religion. Or they simply cannot distinguish the baby from the bathwater, having been taught for years that they are the same thing. In sum, religious organizations, that which calls itself the church, cannot fix basic problems because they are essentially a business or social club, not a living, organic group of people who actually care about one another, truly love one another, and thus work to solve their own problems in as much as it is possible. Religious organizations, which people call the church, are largely dead and useless, being merely social clubs that don't want to rock the boat, whose members very much want to conform to the ways of this world and the society they're in. They are powerless to bring change. They cannot bring significant life change within their organization's membership, let alone bringing change to those outside of it. In the next chapter, we will look at a very important problem, how to fix, quote, sin and the Christian's remedy for that problem. For more on, quote, church, see Appendix 10, Christian Church Doctrine Debunked. Chapter Summary. Joshua of Nazareth only uses the term church twice in all his teachings, and his definition of the church is very different from the current common understanding of the term. The church, as Joshua of Nazareth defines it, are his people who allow themselves to be chosen out of the world by Joshua and into the kingdom of God, who submit to King Joshua as their only spiritual leader and teacher, and who live together as actual brothers and sisters. Quote, the church is not a building or an organization or clergy, religious leaders, or programs, or ministries, or rituals. The organizations that call themselves, quote, the church are nothing more than religious social clubs, which have as much power to bring a person into life as McDonald's has the power to bring a person into dietary health. Those who participate in a religious organization are actively contributing to hiding the light of the world, and thus are working against him since they support and promote the counterfeit or substitute.